All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
TheWordBros.com.
Just wonderful. Welcome to a brand new episode of Word Bros. We had a guest.
Season two.
We had a guest. The guest bailed, so it's just Kevin and I, and those things happen from time to time. What are you going to do? We're still going to chit-chat. We're still going to have a nice time. Got a lot of things to discuss, a lot of things to talk about. Hopefully, they'll be as interesting as the pre-recording conversations, but they never are. Like, all the conversations that you never hear with podcasts off the recording are always way better. Like,
Kevin,
Kevin was making fun of my nail polish because I have nail polish on.
Apparently Bob had his toe painted.
Have my toes painted. My daughter had her birthday last week. She had the longest birthday celebration of any human being, not royalty, in the whole world. So she had a sleepover. One of her friends slept over. They wanted to paint fingernails. And I mean, they only have 10 fingers and 10 toes. So they need more nails to paint. So they painted Bobby's, and then they painted mine. I have red and blue fingernails. One hand, my left hand is completely red, which is nice. And then my right hand is 3 reds and 2 blues.
Now, when people ask you about that, do you be like, I'm Bob France, professional hand model?
Surprisingly, no one has said anything.
Oh, because so, I would say if someone asked, I would be, I'm a professional hand model. This is what I do.
I would just tell them, what are you talking about? Your fingernails. What's up with your fingernails? I'm not following you here. Why are your fingernails painted? I don't know what you're, and then go, oh, what happened? No, but I think most of the time I'm with 2 small children. So I think that one of them being a girl, so I think.
I mean, I wouldn't find it odd if I saw, I mean, and I'm not saying that to be facetious. I'm not saying that it'd be funny. Like, if I saw a grown man with his fingernails painted, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, that means this or that. Because, but then that's not everybody, though. Other people make weird assumptions about that stuff. I was just saying that because professional hand model seems to be like a funny Zoolander thing. Isn't that where that's from?
I have very hairy hands, though, so it would be.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. I have hairy hands, hairy legs, hairy feet, not a hairy face, not a hairy chest. It's just kind of here. And for some reason, I don't know, you probably never noticed this. No one ever really has, except me and my wife. I have very hairy wrists. Next time we hang out, I'll show you like this part of my, look at all that hair. Like this part of my arm.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm talking about like on my wrist bone.
Oh.
And like the side of my hands. I have really hairy side of hands. Like, look at all that hair. look at it all. It's very odd.
It's because you were a chimpanzee in a former life. This is why you like monkeys.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Kevin, I think we've all evolved from chimpanzees. We were all chimpanzees. No, I mean,
you were just one in a former life.
That's cool.
That was what you used to do. You were like an organ grinding monkey, like that would get people to do things like, you know, come into stores and buy cigars and such in the 20s.
I can see that. That's probably why I'm such a natural at manning a table at a convention, because it's very similar. So I would even say I dress probably very similar to an organ grinder monkey. There's probably many similarities in our dress as well. Because I'm sure they wear like little suits and neckerchiefs and stuff like that.
And little hats. Yeah.
Perhaps.
That makes sense now.
It does. It's all coming together in one wonderful package. My life is finally making sense. So congratulations. I saw that you are going to be a guest at the Hampton Comic Con.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
Now, what is that show?
It is, I think it's next month. on the 13th or the, that, it's the, I don't know, the 20th.
Okay. So it's October. I think it's October 20th and 21st. 20th
and 21st.
Right? Yep. Nice. A 2-day show.
It's a 2-day Hampton Comic Con.
That's awesome. So are you going to split your money with me, Kevin?
No.
But we're
I
a
didn't
team,
even have to think
Kevin.
About it.
We're a team. That's we awesome. Are. So that's awesome. So you got your own table. I'm really happy that you're tabling because I think it's time.
Like you, I mean, I tabled last year at Hampton Comic Con.
I know, but what I'm saying is you need to, because for the longest time you've been Drew's like a table assistant. Like, because for those of you that don't know, when you go to a con, if you've never been, I'm sure all of you have been, because if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you've been to a Comic Con.
No, not everybody's been to a con though.
Most artists at shows are just drawing. So they're never looking up. They're always just looking down, doing what they're doing. So Kevin's job, as was my job before him, was to kind of just hang out with Drew, kill some time, and try to attract some people over to the table, because the artist can't do it because they're looking down. But Kevin is finally kind of branching out on his own, and now he's going to have his own table because you have enough stuff. Like you,
yeah.
Have,
now I do. Now I do. That's why. Know? That's what. That, I think that's what kept me kind of not doing it before. And if I couldn't get like, I got a table to MarsCon here in Williamsburg last year. I had a table there. Was it last year? Was it last year or the year before?
2 years. It was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
That was the first time I tabled by myself. And I only had two things to sell. I had Elvis Adventures and Oathbound. Yes.
What a book. Man. Those two solid books to sell right there.
Yeah, they are. And the thing was, I did all right for that. But now, and this is what you have to think about when you're doing this stuff. If I would have had to pay for the table, I would have made $5 for the entire weekend. Sure. I still would have busted in the green, but it's only $5 I would have made.
Only $5 green.
Yeah, $5 worth of green. So, like, because I made, like, $118
nice. Over the 3 days,
which isn't bad.
That's not bad. It's not bad selling $5 books. Like, you have to put that in perspective. Like, right. that's a lot of books.
Yeah, yeah. It was like 30 books, almost yeah. 30 books. 20-something, 20 books or so. The cool thing about it was, like, I didn't pay for the table, so that was all, like, pocket money. It helped me give my kid lunch money and put gas in my car. So, like, that was awesome. The weird thing is, if I would have had to pay for a table, I would have barely made in the green.
You're saying your kid would have starved. That's what you're saying?
Yes, I'm guilt-tripping everyone out there to pay me when they go to cons. Like, don't let my child starve at lunch.
Come on, man, I got kids to feed, baby. You're like the alien guy in Total Recall who takes his arm off. And I got 5 kids to feed. I thought you had 6 kids to feed.
But yeah, like, the cool thing about that is, like, that was the first time I did it. And then Hampton Con, this will be the second Hampton Con.
Nice.
But last time we split a table because I didn't have very much more than what I had for MarsCon.
Now, what fine wares will you be selling at Hampton Comic Con?
I have everything that we have done. I even have some Elvis left over. I found 3 Elvises when I cleaned out my old car. Yeah, I got 3. I have 3 copies of the Elvis Adventures.
Nice.
I still have some Oathbound. I have the Not Forgotten anthology, which is a trade, and okay. I have the If anthology.
Okay.
So, and Fredo.
There you go. That's
so it's like everything. It's
that's
everything.
A sizable haul.
Yeah, it's a decent amount of books.
Now, how many? Here's an important question I think you should ask yourself, and I think if you're doing shows, you should ask yourself this as well. If you're a writer or an artist or whatever, how many of those things, because you said you did Hampton Con last year as well, how many of those things on your table will be new?
2.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah. So it's if and then Not Forgotten, the 2 trades.
Nice.
So, because I had Fredo.
Okay.
We got that at the Tidewater Comic Con. I didn't have Elvis with me because I didn't know I had those 3 copies in the old con box that I used to bring with my books in it. I didn't know that they were sitting at the bottom of the box. You know how the box has those flaps in it? The 3 issues was underneath one of the flaps.
It's like a secret compartment.
Yeah, it was a very weird surprise. I was like, I thought I didn't have any more of these.
You're like Nicolas Cage in National Treasure.
Digging through my comics with a flashlight. It belongs in the museum.
I just found the Declaration of Independence. Read the Declaration of Independence. Well, that's cool, man. So, that's one thing I think you need to do as a creator. If you do cons more than once, make sure you have new books.
Something new. Yeah.
Like, I don't like to do a show if I don't have new stuff, because then people come over and they say, well, what do you have? And you say, oh, I got this stuff. I bought that last year. Like, oh, well, do you have anything new? And you go, no. And then they're like, okay, well, cool. See you later.
It was cool to see you.
Yeah. Good talking to you. It's nice to always get repeat business. And that's what you're trying to do when you're doing these shows. You're trying to get repeat business. That's why every year when I do TriCon in West Virginia, it ain't the biggest show in the whole wide world, but we get repeat business because every time we do it, we have new books. And I mean, hell, we even had people coming back this year buying the Metal Shark brooch. And hopefully when we do TriCon this year, we'll have the Metal Shark Bro trade.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Because hopefully we'll have that thing out by April.
April.
Hopefully, normally that show is in May or June, so we'll probably have books. We'll be ready.
Usually it's June.
Rock that mother grubber out, blow it up.
I mean, and here's the cool thing about that. We kind of had a test market for it at TriCon.
Yeah.
That's when we determined that this might be a book that...
Oh, we knew it would work, Kevin. We're being modest at this point, bro. I mean...
That's not necessarily true. We weren't sure.
Everybody we told... Really sure everybody until we told Metal Shark Bro about was like, that sounds awesome. Because it's just so dumb. It's just such a dumb concept that it's going to work. And I can't believe we were able to trick over 700 people into backing it on Kickstarter. That's a spell right there. That's some kind of mage spell right there, able to trick 700 people over the internet.
Is it like internet charm person? Is that the spell list? Is that internet charm person? Or internet friends, that's what it is.
Yes.
Because they all know we got them to buy this book. So when they release from the spell, they'll be like, hey, you owe me money.
We do.
Because that's how friends works.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about the book. I've been working on issue 3 as we speak. I got derailed a little bit this week. I had a surprise family come to town because they bailed for the storm. So they came. But it's going well. I'm excited about it. But it's funny because I was talking to Chaz, who might come on our podcast, a guy named Chaz Pangburn. He's a wonderful guy. He's a good editor. And I like saying his name funny. And I always say his name, Chaz Pangburn. He's a good dude. He's a really talented cat. I was going to send him Metal Shark Bros 1 and 2 so he can edit. And it's weird because I still, and I don't know if you do this as well, but every time I send something to an editor, be it like a freelance editor or, you know, like an editor at a company, I still get like super nervous that I'm going to get found out that I'm a complete and total fraud.
Yeah. I think it still happens to anyone that writes. I mean, it happens because you go, I'm not sure if this is any good or not. And when I read it, it sounds good to me, but I wrote it. So, I mean, this looks still all right to me. So I'm like, oh, this looks all right. But
it
I
sounds good to me because I'm a dummy. It's delusions of grandeur is what I have.
But I think that as you were saying yesterday when we did the Creator Talks pod, that the editor actually helps you realize stuff about things that you do when you write that you probably wouldn't notice normally. Yeah. And I think that's a good thing to have. When you said, you know, an editor, I was like, I agree, because sometimes they'll read through everything and go, well, this thing here doesn't make any sense. Why is that there? And then you're like, no, that makes perfect sense. And they'll go, no.
Yeah.
That's a weird place to have that. You should
And you know, it's one of those cases, and I think a lot of young writers do this. I know it was a mistake I made early on, and I'm sure you did too, where it's like, oh, well, this happens because of this. And you're not going to be there explaining your work to the person reading it. If they buy your work from you at a show, you're not going to be sitting there next to them going, oh, well, this happens because of this. It's got to be in the book. Like, it's got to be clear and concise.
Right.
You know? Like, you can know why it happens, but at some point you have to fill the reader in. The reader has to know what's going on. If not, then your work is just kind of jumbled and confusing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. too. And also, the one of the hardest things to learn, I think, when you're writing comics, that you have to keep in mind as opposed to writing prose, would be show, don't tell, because you have the ability to. So you got to remember that the artist has the ability to show the audience something. And I don't mean like the character saying, oh, here's this book, and they're handing them a book. That's not showing, not tell. That's that they're talking about an ancient, there's an ancient grimoire, blah, 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 blah. And instead of saying, here, this book, the dialogue shouldn't be, here's this book, because you're showing them that.
Yeah.
Like that's where you have your chance to do your info dump or whatever, because the book is on the, you can see the book. Versus where in a prose piece, you would have to tell them about the book. So I feel like that's one of the things that happens a lot too.
Makes sense. Yeah. Again, it's nice to kind of have, I had this dude just kind of hit me up on Twitter out of nowhere in my DMs. He slid up in my DMs and he was like, hey, this is a friend of mine. He's been writing articles for stuff, but he wants to get into comics. Like, what kind of advice would you have for him? And I was like, well, yeah, the first thing you should do is hire an editor. I said, like, write 6 to 8 page stories, because we all do it. Like, we all want to write our giant epic, you know, 15 issue maxi series about, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then there's blah, blah, blah. Nah, son, write 6 to 8 pages to show that you can complete a story, that you can do the work, that you can get it done. It's easier to find an artist to do 6 or 8 pages, and then get yourself an editor.
Yeah.
Get yourself an editor, and make sure you get a professional letterer as well. Lettering is so important to comics, because if your lettering sucks, then guess what?
Your comic sucks.
Yeah. And that's the real truth, brother. And there's a lot of great letterers out there, man. Like, use Twitter as almost like as the yellow pages. I know that's a really old reference at this point. I don't know why they still like,
nobody got it but you.
Yeah, and no. You know what the yellow pages are. I got my yellow pages the other day, and I'm just like, why? They just throw them in the trash. Like, no one needs this. It just went right in the garbage. Like, if you're going to bring the yellow pages to my house, just do me a favor and just throw it away, because I don't want it. Nobody wants this thing. I got a Google machine in my pocket.
I haven't seen them. Like, you know the weird thing, now that you bring up the yellow page, I haven't seen anybody drop off yellow pages books in years.
Really? I got one like a week ago, and every time I get one, it baffles me. It's like, this is the stupidest thing in the whole world. Like, what is
with
it?
With the internet.
This point,
yeah. I mean, I don't think people even read as many newspapers now because of the internet. People get their news from the internet. Now they might use online sources to bring them their news, but I don't think that the newsprint's completely died off. But I think that we are in the last generation where we will see printed newspapers.
I've been buying, actually, I did it last week, and I think I'm going to continue to do it, even though I was disappointed in my local paper, the Cincinnati Inquirer, which is just kind of like a smaller version of USA Today, because they're owned by the same company, Gwinnett, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. I remember as a kid being a giant sports fan, and every Sunday the paper would come and they would have the baseball box scores, and they would also have the stats for everybody. So they would have the pitching batting at, they would have the pitching ERA leaders and the batting average people, and like the team batting and team pitching. And I remember just as a kid, like, just poring over this information and just like reading every name and seeing who's doing what and what my favorite players are doing. And my son is becoming quite the sportsman. Like, he loves everything sports. He's obsessed with it. So I was thinking, you know, what would be fun is to go get the Sunday paper and do the same thing. Like, just go over there and like see what the Los Angeles Rams are doing, or, you know, just to kind of have that moment. And then my daughter, who's not so much into sports, but she's into comics, she can read the Sunday comics.
Right.
So I went to get the paper, and it's not the same. They don't have it. They did still have the comics, but like the baseball stuff wasn't in there. So that was kind of a bummer. So I might buy the New York Times this week and just be like a total fancy pants and see if it's in there. And if it is, I'm just going to continue to buy the paper so my boy and I can look at it together, because it's fun. Like, it's enjoyable, you know?
So who is your favorite player?
Growing up?
Yeah.
My favorite player growing up was probably Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah.
being a Mets fan, I was, Daryl Strawberry was my man's in them. And then my favorite pitcher was probably Dwight Gooden, because he was the best. But like, I would just look at the box score and find all the Mets, and, oh, Rafael Santana's batting 227. He's got no home runs and 11 RBIs. Okay, he's got this many at bats. And so it was just very fun. And I don't know, I really enjoyed it. And I would talk to my dad about it and just kind of talk to my friends about it. So I don't know, maybe I'm speaking like someone from a long forgotten era, if you will. But I think it's just something that the boy and I can do together. Just, you know.
No, I think that's a wonderful thing. I was just wondering, like, because like, I was seeing if your favorite player or your favorite pitcher were based on the statistics, or were they based on things about that player or whatever. But I remember Daryl Strawberry because we lived in New York and Shea Stadium at that time when I was a kid, it was Daryl Strawberry. My dad was a Mets fan.
Yeah, it's a sad,
I rooted for the Yankees.
It's a sad life to be a Met fan. Sad life.
I did inherit that. See, I'm glad I that passed me over. He was a Jets fan and a Mets fan. So he's bad on everything. You know?
Well, that's how it normally goes with people up there. You're a Mets, Jets, Islanders, Nets fan for some reason, and then you're a Yankees, Knicks, Giants, and Rangers fan. That's how the New York sports fans normally go.
Right.
Which is weird. I don't know why, but that's just how it normally is. But yeah, man. So this weekend I'm excited. It's the Cincinnati Comic Expo this weekend.
Are you going?
I'll probably go. I know some friends of ours are going to be there, like Scoot and Dave.
And Dave.
From Wrapped Up will be there. So I'm going to go talk to those dudes. There's a couple other people that I want to meet that will be in town. And it's just nice to go to a show. I haven't been in a show in a while.
Make sure Dave gives you some snacks, man. He said he always has snacks.
I mean, I'm going to hit him up. That's why I'm going.
You got to hit him up for some snacks.
I mean, he got no snacks in the house. So I'm going to go hit up Dave, be like, what's up? You got some snacks, bro? How the Morio's looking. I might bring the kids. I might not. I'm still debating because I want to go and kind of not network per se, but just.
Yeah, I mean, the one of the goals to go to the show was to not only just chill with Scoot and Dave for a minute, which you wouldn't be able to do too long of if you have your kids with you, because they'll get bored. Because when I bring my kid to the Comic-Con, I do a little networking, but mostly I'm there for his entertainment. So we have to keep moving in order for that to happen.
What I could always do is just buy a Sunday pass, because I think Sunday it's from 10 to 5 or whatever. Just take the kids really early and then just bring them home and go back, you know, or just maybe go today because it's a 3-day show, which is pretty crazy to think it's a 3-day extravaganza. Maybe buy like a Friday and a Sunday, or I don't know, because the kids will get in for free.
Yeah, you could do a Friday, Sunday, a 2-day. So you just say, I want Friday and Sunday instead of Friday and Saturday, and you do Friday and go today and talk to the dudes, and then Sunday you go and bring the kids.
Yep.
Because you've already had time to scout it out then, which is a smart plan, because I don't do that.
Hey.
I just go for it. Because most of them here, like Richmond Comic Con or whatever, where I brought my son, that's one day.
Yeah.
Saturday, that's what you got, is that one day. So when I bring him, I talk to the people I know that make comics, but I don't stay at their booth for too long talking or whatever, because my child's with me and he doesn't want to.
My child.
He wants to look at the Lego. He wants to look at the Legos. He wants to look at like the Pokemon stuff. He wants to look at the stuff that's there more so than the comics per se. But the comics do catch his interest at times too. But it's more like, oh, there's all this cool stuff from my favorite things.
So. Do you have an Ollie's near you?
No.
I was at Ollie's because we have one up the street, and they always sell like really weird like comic collections. Like they always sell like graphic novels and stuff, and they're pretty cheap. And do you remember?
Big Lots does, but
Big Lots does the same thing. Do you remember the Bill and Ted's Marvel book?
No,
I guess
they have that.
Yeah, they have like I guess last year or a couple years ago, Boom put out like an omnibus of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Written by Evan Dorkin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Evan Dorkin did all of it. Like, he did the pencils and the writing and all kinds of stuff. Like, I had no idea it was Evan Dorkin doing it. So I'm pretty curious to check it out.
He's actually a pretty good comic creator, too.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying. He did the Bill and Ted's book. I had no idea.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm going to go pick that up, because, I mean, I think it's like a – It's like a $30 hardcover regularly, but I think they're selling it for $9.
I mean, it can't hurt, because if you hate it, you could always donate it to the library. So.
Yeah, or I could just sell it to what's it called? Half Price Books. Yeah. Okay. So he's got the Evan Dorkin did, and I didn't even know that he did it, was Bill and Ted. So I think I'm going to go buy that thing because I really want to check that out. Because I've been reading a lot lately, which I'm pretty excited about.
I mean, reading is fundamental, man.
It is. It truly is. You're exactly right, friend. You're exactly right. So, I guess that's it. Next week, we're going to have on our main man, our number one dude, a good guy. Really excited to have him on. Kevin, he's the artist on one of your favorite comic books of all time.
He is. It's Josh Hood.
Josh Hood from We Can Never Go Home. He also has done some stuff. He did a really great Star Trek book.
So that I had to come up, of course, because I was like, I know he draws Star Trek stuff, so you're going to be...
He did. He did. Him and Donny Cates did like this really cool like Mirror Universe one-shot that was supposed to be a whole series, but I guess it just didn't happen. Because of Donny Cates' schedule or whatever. But it was a good issue, man. He draws a good Klingon, which is pretty dope.
Well, you know what? I know what commission to get you next time I'm at a con where Josh Hood's at. I'm like, draw Bob as a Klingon.
Draw Worf. Or draw me as a Klingon. Kaplaw!
Okay. Bob as a Klingon would be like the best, because he's got a neckerchief. He's the only Klingon that has a neckerchief on. Ever.
I've been telling Stephanie, like, I want to get, like, I don't know how much you know about Star Trek, but I want...
I know a little bit.
I want to get... a batleth, which is the ceremonial Klingon weapon.
Okay.
And I want to get one for home protection, because I think it would be really invaluable to have to protect me and my family. Because I mean, like, I don't want a gun in my house, but like if somebody broke into my house and I ran at them with a giant, like, double-handed bladed weapon, they would just freak out. And if I'm screaming kaplaw at them, like, they would probably run away pretty fast. So,
you could run at them screaming with kaplaw with a bladed weapon that you don't know how to use because you're not a Klingon.
But I would take classes to...
You would take Klingon battle classes?
You know what, Kevin? In this world in 2018, I'm sure there are batleth lessons somewhere. And I'm sure it's probably the same as kind of using a staff, perhaps. But yeah,
like Klingon foo? Are you like learning Klingon foo?
You know what? I bet there are bat... You know what? I'm going to Google it right now. Batleth lessons. Well,
I'm just... For your reasoning, I mean, to have if like I just want to have this to have it, that's cool. But you're like, I'm gonna defend my home with a Klingon.
There is on YouTube, batleth lessons, batleth lesson numero uno, holding the batleth, basic strikes.
So when the robber breaks in, you'll be like, I learned how to use this on YouTube. You better leave.
I mean, it's 2018, Kevin. My wife, she built a bed for my daughter, like a fancy pants.
I saw it. It was amazing.
She got all those plans online.
Your wife isn't talking about defending your home.
She built a bed that my daughter sleeps in that's now like 7 feet off the ground.
I just think it's funny because you're like, oh, my wife made a bed, and that it relates to my Klingon battle
training. Kablah!
And I'm just like, there's no relation there. Like, I mean, okay. I'm going to defend my home with this.
That would be dope, dude. Like, and look, I don't even think I would have to do much batlething, because if someone saw it, they would just run away. They'd be like, this,
that's your hope. I mean, I learned how to use it on YouTube is not like the most fearsome like battle cry after kaplaw. I mean, kaplaw, I'm YouTube trained, bitch. I don't think it's gonna work, you know?
Hey man, I'm just saying, you can learn a lot on YouTube, bro. Don't why are you hating?
I'm worried about your safety, actually.
Thanks, Kevin. You know what, me too. Me too. All right. So thank you for listening. We're going to head out of here. We'll be back next week with Josh Hood. We're really excited about it. So that'll be a really great show. We got some guests coming up. If they'll just stop bailing on us, it's very hard. Deadlines are tough.
Deadlines are tough in comics. But
so, until Kevin, next week. Thank you very much, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Kaplaw!
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.